We're doing the book of Yonah. I assume everyone knows the story more or less. Yonah is a prophet. Hashem sends him to the people of Nineveh to tell them that in 40 days the city will be overturned. Yonah runs away into the sea. Hashem sends great turbulence. He's thrown overboard. The sailors realize they draw lots and they say, it's your fault. And he says, you're right, it's my fault. It's because God wanted me to do something and I ran away. And so they throw him off into the sea. He's swallowed by a whale. And eventually within the whale, he starts praying to Hashem. And Hashem has the whale spit him out onto dry land. And then he goes to the city of Nineveh and warns them in 40 days the city will be overturned. And the people repent and Hashem annuls the decree. So the city's not overturned. Yonah is very upset by this. He sits outside the city watching what's going to happen. And then Hashem has a tree grow over him, give him shade. And then that he really enjoys the fact that he has that shade outside the city. And then Hashem sends a worm that dries out, that eats away at the tree. The tree collapses and Yonah is in the sun suffering terribly. And he says, God, let me die. This is so bad, my suffering. And Hashem says, you see how upset you are over a tree that you didn't even work over? And I shouldn't care about all these people, all these human beings in Nineveh? Of course I care about them. Why does it bother you that I care and I let them live? And that's the book of Yonah. So now let's understand what's really going on in the book of Yonah, because that's the story we know from our childhood. Now we have to understand what's really going on in the book. Let's hold on questions for now, okay? We are about to read the story of one of the greatest tzaddikim of all times. Yonah is going to be there when Mashiach comes. Hashem tells Yonah, I want you around for all my pious people. You're going to be serving the meal when we have to slaughter the Leviathan and the Satan and whatever has to happen when Mashiach comes. You're up to bat, Yonah. So when we read the book of Yonah, we're reading the book of someone who cared deeply about his people. And he cared so much that even though Hashem forced his hand, ultimately Yonah has an important role to play in the future of the Jewish people. And when we think of Yonah, let's look at our map for a minute. Yonah is living in a time period where the Assyrian Empire has come down and conquered the northern half of Israel. They have gone to the east and conquered the eastern part of Israel. And so, let's take our black and white map over here. And if we're going to look over here, Menashe, Gad, Reuven, all of this territory has been exiled. Asher, Naphtali, Zvulun, all of this territory from the Kinneret upward has been exiled by the Assyrians. Yonah himself comes from the tribe of Asher, or Zvulun. His own family, everyone he knows, his communities, everyone's been exiled. And the people are living in fear. Everyone knows the Assyrian Empire is in the process of a tremendous conquest, and they're about to conquer the remainder of Israel. And that's true. They will. They will conquer the north. They will conquer the center. They will conquer the south. There's going to be a little enclave called Jerusalem. A very little enclave that's going to manage to escape miraculously. But the Assyrian Empire is unstoppable. They've conquered country after country, and we are small fry to their army. And so it is at this juncture, after the Assyrian Empire has exiled more than 50% of the Jewish people. They have already caused a Holocaust of millions. They have murdered millions. They have exiled millions. And at this point, God appears to Yonah and says, Yonah, that Assyrian Empire, well, they've been behaving improperly. I would like you to go and rebuke them. They shouldn't be punished. Please, Yonah, go to their capital, to Nineveh, and tell their leaders that I want them to shape up. And so Yonah sees the facts and he says, hold it. I'm supposed to go and tell the Assyrian Empire that Hashem is about to punish them? I'm supposed to cause them to repent? And so Yonah says, I should rather die than cause the nemesis of the Jewish people, these arch enemies who have already exiled millions, I should cause them to repent? No. And so Yonah knows that if he tries to retain his prophecy inside, then it doesn't work. Like the prophet Jeremiah tells us, a prophet that tries to withhold his prophecy finds it impossible. It's like it's burning within him. He has to say it. So Yonah says, let me go to Chutz Laaretz. Let me take a trip to sea. I'll be seasick a little bit. I won't be focused. I won't be able to connect to Hashem. Look at the absurdity. What do we read about on Yom Kippur? We read about a man that was so close to Hashem that Hashem gives him prophecy. And this man tried to escape that closeness to Hashem. This man said, I can't, because it's giving me a mission that I don't want to do. And in order to protect my people, I should be willing to give up my own life. And so Yonah, in his great piety, goes out to sea, knowing full well that the odds are he will never come back alive. But Yonah says, I would rather do that than cause the demise of my people. And so our book begins. Vayhi devar Hashem el Yonah ben Amitai lemor. The word of Hashem appeared to Jonah, the son of Amitai. Yonah was orphaned as a young child. His mother was that widow that took Elio into her house. Yonah was that child that died, and Eliyahu brought him back to life. So Yonah has visited death once in his lifetime. Can you imagine that? You know, we had a very good friend who at age 3, they discovered a tumor in his stomach when he was 3 years old. And they were able to take out the tumor, and he lived for another 30 years until he passed away. Maybe 35 years. He passed away 2 or 3 years ago. When they found this and they realized that his life was in danger and that he would have to undergo all these treatments, so they added a name. They changed his name to Rafael. They didn't just add a name, they made that his name, Rafael. And they asked Rabbi Feinstein, should we explain to him as a child why he's called Rafael? Because by the time he was 5, 6 years old, he was back to being a normal child. He was healed, he was cured, he was in remission. And Behemet, he continued living a healthy life. He had children, and he built a family, and he was an educator. And then at around age 36, 38, he passed away. So Rabbi Feinstein said, don't tell him. It's not healthy for a child to walk around thinking, I was almost dead, and it was almost a miracle that I'm still alive. But I don't think anyone was able to do that favor to Yonah. Yonah grew up, and it seems almost a sure thing that Yonah knew that he was once dead. And the prophet brought him back to life. Yonah grew up as an orphan. And Yonah became a tremendously pious person. And not only pious, but also very wealthy. It is from Yonah that we learn that a prophet must be wealthy, because as we will see, Yonah was a multimillionaire. So he gets prophecy, and God tells him, go to Nineveh, that great city. Kum lechel Nineveh ha'ira gdola ukra aleha. I want you to call out to the city. I want you to give speeches. I want you to give inspiring talks. Get the people to repent. Ki aleta ratam lefanai. For I have seen their evil doings, and I am prepared to punish them. So you go and warn them, so they could do tshuva. Again, look at what we're doing on Yom Kippur. We read the story of a prophet who is sent to non-Jews. He is sent to people who are our enemies. And Hashem says, they are about to be punished. Warn them. Vayakom Yonah livroach Tarshisha. Jonah got up to flee to Tunis. Milifnei Hashem, from before Hashem, he says, let me go into the sea. And at the sea, the turmoil will make it impossible for me to get prophecy. And then it is highly likely that God will kill me, which is fine. At least I will have saved my people. Vayered Yafo vayimtzauni Abba Tarshish. He comes to Jaffa. We know where Jaffa is on the map, right? He comes up to the port city of Jaffa. He finds a city headed to Tarshish. Vayten schara vayered ba lavoi maim Tarshisha melifnei Hashem. And he tells him, how much does the ship cost? So the sailors say, well, each person has to pay such and such a price, and we just came to port, so you're the first customer, but you can wait until we get together all the customers to fill the ship, and then we'll go. And Yonah says, I'm paying the full fare. I will pay for everyone that you want to board the ship. I will pay. And the sailors say, and who will board the ship? And Yonah says, just I. Now the sailors were from all 70 nationalities. It's a big ship. But Yonah's interest is that if God will kill him on that ship, let there be a minimal amount of innocent bystanders. So Yonah says, let me pay. I'll pay for the whole ship. No one else boards. I'll board. Take me out. And from here we learn how wealthy Yonah was. And the sailors say, you'll pay. And Yonah might have seen some doubt in their eyes. So it says he paid up front. And it used to be customary that you'd pay when you land. How do you know they're going to bring you there, right? Maybe the ship will be shipwrecked. So it was customary that you paid before disembarking from the ship. Well, Yonah paid up front. He paid for the whole ship. Tremendous sum of money. So he boards the ship and he's happy. Maybe he's doing the greatest act of piety. He is fleeing Hashem. Well, he knows Hashem is everywhere. But he knows if I leave Israel and I get discombobulated, I won't have prophecy. They're going out to sea. They're in the middle of the sea. V'Adonai hetil ruach gedola el hayam. Hashem made tremendous turbulence come out from within the sea. They're looking around, there's no wind. But from within the sea, a wind is coming out. And they start seeing the sea turning and churning. V'Hisa gadol bayam. And in the sea, around their ship, there is tremendous turbulence. They look to the left. Everyone else is smooth sailing. They look to the right. Everyone else is smooth sailing. But around their ship, no. Ve'ha'oniya chishiva lehishaver. And the ship is being tossed such that they hear the creaking. And it doesn't sound like the ship is going to last. We used to have an engineering class. And he told me that till today, we cannot create a ship that won't crack in the waters. With all our brilliance, he said there exists such turbulence at sea that there does not exist a ship out at sea that can withstand if there's sudden force that pulls one side of the ship one way and another side the other way. The forces that are at play at sea are such that we cannot create a ship that's impossible to break. We create ships that almost never break. We create ships that withstand the seas. But at the end of the day, there are forces out there at sea where we can't. And so the sailors see that the ship is being thrown in each direction so forcefully that the ship is about to break. Notice we're not talking about the passengers. We're talking about the sailors. And they got very scared. They've been at sea. They've seen turbulence, but they never saw something like this. They never saw other ships are just fine. Just around their ship, there's problems, and big problems. So each one takes out their little idol, and they start praying. And they start talking to the gods. Vayatilu et hakelim asher ba'oniya el hayam lakel me'aleihem. And they start throwing everything that's on board overboard. They figure if the ship is lighter, it's going to be able to move with the waves and it won't break. Ve'yonah. What does Yonah do? Yonah. Yarad el yarketei asefina. Vayishka vayeradam. They were on the onia, the ship that's above sea. He went to the sefina. Sefina means the ship that's hidden. He went down to the lower deck beneath the waters and went to sleep thinking, if water will come overboard and the ship will be in danger, the most dangerous place to be is at the bottom of the ship. That's where the waters come in and that's where people die first. By the way, this is true about buildings also. When buildings collapse, you're always better off being on a higher floor. Whoever it collapses on is not in such good shape. The higher floors are the ones that sometimes survive. So Yonah figures, if I'm at the bottom of the ship, chances are I will die first. And then I won't take down anyone with me.
So he goes to sleep.
And
he is so upset. This is so difficult. He goes to sleep and he falls asleep. Now this was a ship where everyone knew the passenger, right? One passenger. I don't know if you guys ever flew when the plane was almost empty. But I've had the pleasure of doing that a few times, where you get on the plane and you got rows to yourself. So everyone knows you. Yonah comes on and there's no other passenger. So the captain comes to him and says to him, "Vayomer lo malecha nirdam, what's wrong with you? You're going to sleep? Kum kira el Elohecha. Get up. Call your God. We're having mass prayer services here. Everyone's praying to their God. You're missing. Call your God. Maybe we could get the forces up there to change their minds. And then we won't all die." So the sailors say, "This is crazy. We've been out to sea. We've never seen something like this. What we have to do is, let's draw lots. Let's see if we can figure out whose fault this is, because this isn't normal. Some god out there is crazy, is upset. Some god out there is upset at us because someone's zapping our ship. Everyone else is fine. We got problems. So someone's causing the problems." So we're just short on time. It's quick. Yeah.
I feel like this instinctively, I assume they should have, or at least may have known that it had, might have something to do with Yonah, because yeah. The way he got the ship was so sketchy.
So they draw lot one. We're going to see. So maybe he's a tycoon. He wants the ship to himself. They draw lots, and the first lot falls on Yonah. They draw a second lot, falls on Yonah again. They try a third way. Every way they draw lots, it always falls on Yonah. So now he's the wealthy tycoon who's hired the ship. This isn't so comfortable. And all the lots fall on him. So they say, maybe you could tell us whose fault all this is. Maybe you could tell us what you do for a living. Maybe there's a God out there that's really upset at your type of livelihood. And maybe now's a good time to change your livelihood. Maybe you'll tell us what country you come from. Maybe there's a God out there that's upset at your country. Maybe you could tell us what nationality you're from. Maybe you could tell us what people you're from. And Yonah says, "Hold it. I'm a Hebrew. And I'm not playing this game like you guys. This God, that God, the other God, one God. Okay? God who created the heavens, created the earth, and is master of the sea and the dry land. He is all-encompassing, okay? And he's the one I fear. And I have decided that I am not going to listen to him." So he begins by giving them this huge speech. "I worship a greater God than all of your little gods. Okay? I worship the God. And I have chosen to disobey him." Okay? Again, look at the paradox. But if we think about it, that's our paradox. We show up to Yom Kippur, we show up every day, we can say, "Aleinu l'shabach." I was in a shul tonight where the rabbi said, as people were saying, "Aleinu l'shabach," he hit the table and said, "Aleinu l'shabach is not tefillat haderech." Because two-thirds of the shul was walking out of shul as they're saying, "You are the master. There are none like you. Everyone should bow to you," they say as they turn their backs walking out of shul. So we are that paradox. So we come to Yom Kippur and we read about Yonah, who gives this fantastic speech. "My God is the God, but I'm not listening to him now." And so they got very upset. And they said, "Why? Yonah, why? Maybe you should listen to God." You guys know we have this all the time. We have the Jew who dates the non-Jew. And then she says, "Let me find out about your heritage." And then she says, "I want to convert." And he says, "Okay, so I'll keep Shabbat." And then she converts. And at some point she says to him, "You're not religious enough for me." Right? And she says, "Buddy, get serious here. This is for real." And this happens all the time, where the girl or the guy is the convert, and they tell the boyfriend or girlfriend who's born Jewish, "You got to shape up. This doesn't work." So all the sailors are looking at Yonah, and they're saying, "Maybe you should do tshuva, Yonah." So these non-Jewish sailors are telling Yonah, "Please, don't you see what's happening here? Maybe you should change your mind." And he says, "No." So they say, but Yonah, we're all dying. What are we supposed to do? Yonah, tell us what we're supposed to do. You know, it's our lives here. And it's getting worse, Yonah. So Yonah tells them, well, throw me into the sea and you guys will be okay. So he's such a man of God that when he does something wrong, God zaps the ship. And then he tells him, kill me, you'll be okay. So the sailors say no. So the sailors try to bring the ship to dry land. And they realize that if they approach dry land, the ship can be smashed to smithereens. Some people will die, and some people will live, because they'll be close enough to dry land that they can escape. And they're willing to risk it, because then Hashem will decide who will die. They don't want to kill Yonah, and it doesn't work. And water's coming overboard, and things go worse. And they say, Yonah, please, do tshuva! And Yonah says, no. And so they turn to Hashem, and they start davening. And they say, Ribono Shel Olam, well, you're cornering us. What are we supposed to do? We don't want to die. And now we're supposed to kill him? He's a man of God. Please, we don't force us to kill such a pious person. Ribono Shel Olam, you did this to us. They don't know what to do. So they take Yonah and they put a rope around his stomach and they lower him into the waters. And as his feet hit the waters go quiet. The sailors look at him. They look at the waters. They look back at him. Things are calm. They wait a little bit and they say, okay. They hoist him back overboard. No sooner have they hoisted him overboard, the waters go wild. And again, the ship is being thrown in every direction. The rope is still tied under his arms. They lower him down, and this time they have to wait till the water reaches his navel, and then the waters go quiet. So they wait a little bit, and they're watching, and everything's quiet, and they're waiting some more, and it's still quiet. And finally, they hoist him overboard. No sooner have they brought him into the ship, and everything goes wild all over again. And they see that this isn't going to work. They lower him down, and this time it goes down to his mouth. And then the waters go quiet. And this time again, they wait, and they wait, and they see everything's quiet. They bring him overboard, and the waters go wild. And they're not sure what to do. And they see that the ship is going to capsize, so they lower him down, and this time the waters don't calm. And they lower him down, and his head is covered, and the waters don't go calm. And they let go of the rope, and he sinks, and he doesn't bother trying to swim, and the waters have calmed down, and Yonah goes into the waters, and he is not trying to swim, because Yonah is saying, I will not do tshuva. The book of Yonah is the book of a pious man who says, I'm not doing tshuva. Ribono Shel Olam, you want to kill me? Kill me. But I'm not doing tshuva. And so Yonah sinks. He doesn't swim. But that doesn't work, because if the Ribono Shel Olam wants us to do tshuva, he doesn't give us an easy out. And so, as the sailors watch his body go down, 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 and he's not swimming, they see this huge fish come and swallow Yonah. And they're watching. And what are they supposed to do? So the first thing they do is they grab their foreskins and they take a knife and they hack it off. And they say, so there. What did they just do? They say, Ribono Shel Olam, we understand what our lives has been all about. We've been running around promiscuity. What have we been looking for? We've been throwing these idols. They grab their getchkas, they take their little idols, toss them overboard, and they say, Ribono Shel Olam, we're yours. We now understand. You're the one that runs everything, and we understand all of our life we've been so confused, running after our desires. Ribono Shel Olam, we're going home, we're converting our families, we are all becoming Jewish. And they're all bleeding now. They turn the ship around, and they start sailing as they see that fish fly away. And the fish is swimming away. This huge whale has swallowed Yonah. Yonah is inside the fish, and he's alive, and it's not normal. But you know what? It is normal. Science has proven that a person can be swallowed by a fish and stay alive.
But what starts happening is the acids inside the fish start eating away at Yonah. But Yonah is really pious, you see. So he's not going to do tshuva. Yonah is standing there inside the fish. He has tried. You know, the guy who tried to commit suicide, jumped off the Empire State Building and a wind blew him into a room, right? And he says, even at this, I'm a loser, right? True story. So Yonah has tried and he's not dead. And on the contrary, he is very much alive. And inside the fish, the acid starts eating away at him. And all his hair is consumed. And his flesh starts being consumed. And after 3 days being in that fish, and not saying a word, and being burnt alive, he finally says, Ribono Shel Olam, you win. And it's pretty amazing, if you think about it, what we read on Yom Kippur. Because the story we're reading about is the story of a man who, for good reasons, says, I'm not going to do what you want, Hashem. I'm going to do what's good, and I know you want me to do something else. Many times in my childhood, they'd ask me, which figure in Tanakh do you most see yourself associated with? And I always felt it was Yonah. Of all the figures in Tanakh, the one I understand best is Yonah. I don't understand him, you know. He's a giant, and what am I? But at least I feel like it's such a normal human tendency. You read the Torah and you feel like, I hear the mitzvos, but there are times where I feel like I'm going to be a good person. I know Hashem said this way is to be a good person, but I feel like being that way is to be a good person. So Hashem tells Yonah, go, and Yonah deep down inside thinks, Hashem's testing me. For sure Hashem's happy with what I'm doing now. What, Hashem wants me to be the cause of the demise of my people? Of course Hashem's happy with me. And so Yonah puts up a fight. He's being burnt alive, and he doesn't cave in. And this is where we will pick up B'zat Hashem tomorrow night.